Praise the Lord. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen. Amen. All right, we'll start our school of prayer today. I really don't have for now. But we'll be developing the format to take. But of course, the first thing and most important thing in everything that we're going to be talking about the concept of prayer, what the Bible says concerning prayer, concerning the life of the believer. Now, there are a few scriptures I want us to start with. First, let's begin from the book of Matthew chapter 18. Now, please, I want you to notice something from verse 1 of Matthew chapter 18. It said, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And then he called a child to himself and set before them. Now, what I want to bring out from there is the word them. That is, he's talking here to his disciples. The Bible says that his disciples came to him. I said this was not a sermon on the mount, and this was not a parable of the sower. Because when he would tell parables, he would tell to his to everybody, all right? But this time around, he's speaking specifically to his disciples. And there's a world of difference between when he's describing parables and when he's speaking specific words. And why I'm saying so is that you have to get something in context. Here, he's talking to the disciples, who he said, blessed are they because of what their ears are hearing and what their eyes are seeing. When everybody gathered and said, look, you know, like I said last time, this man preaches very beautifully, such a beautiful sermon. Then they left. They didn't get anything. But some people came beside and said, look, master, all that one you were saying, we didn't make any sense. So he explained to us the meaning of that parable of the sower. And then he began to talk to his disciples. What I'm trying to emphasize is that when he's talking to his disciples, there's a difference. So he said to them, blessed are your ears. He said, look, you guys have bothered to step aside to get the deep meaning of what we are talking about. So what I want to read, he was speaking to disciples. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I want to emphasize. Now, so Matthew chapter 18, he was speaking to disciples in everything he was saying. And then later on in that chapter, please, let's read from verse 18 now. Now I want to read from verse 19. He said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Again, I say to you, he said, if two of you shall agree. The word I want to discuss today is the word agreement. The word what? Agreement. He said, if two of you agree on earth about anything. Now, he said this immediately after he said some things about management of the church, under the body of Christ. So he said, if two of you shall agree on earth about anything, the word is anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, or like the reference we explained, under the influence of the name of Jesus Christ, he said, there I am in their midst. Please note that, and quickly let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Where I'm reading is verse 14. Let me just read from verse 13, just to get it in context. It said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, now notice it, if we ask anything, he said this anything will be in accordance with his will. And if we know that he hears us concerning anything that we may ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now, please, I've read this two portions of the scripture to explain the word agreement. And there are two things I want to bring out here. Agreement amongst those who are praying. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 was where I read. And then agreement amongst those, agreement between us and God. Now, what is the concept of prayer? There's one more scripture I want to just read before. It is nothing new to us, all right? We've read this several times before. That from the book of Psalms. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. 115 verse 16. from verse 16, it says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, let me just explain a few principles here, and then we'll be able to get into the flow of what we're about to start doing every day. Now, please, here, let me start from this verse 16 of Psalm 115. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, this is how God does things, and I want to get it very clear. You know, when God wants to administer, or let me put it like this, God delegates authority to people, all right? And what he did concerning the earth was to delegate the authority on the earth, all right, to people that he placed there. When he put Adam on the earth, he told Adam to name every animal that was on the earth. And the meaning of the word name, I'm not going to discuss that in details, is not just to give a name like, okay, call this a lion and call this an elephant, because the different names have evolved over the years. But it has also to do, because this was the first encounter these people were going to have with their master, that's Adam. Adam was, this is my way I understand it, was going to confer upon them their functions in life, how they were going to relate with people, the importance that they were going to have. That's what it means when they say he should name them. The point I want to just bring out from there is this. Adam had the responsibility, or had the authority, that's my emphasis for today, the authority over the things that were happening on the earth. You get the point. And then, when God will speak, he said to the children of Israel, that because of you, the heavens withheld is due. That is, what the earth experiences is a result of what the people that are on the earth output onto the earth. One of the messages I want to teach on radio shortly, the title will make you laugh a bit. I'm going to call it the cause of global warming. climate change. Yes, I'm serious. It's going to be after the series on identity. I'm going to talk on the true cause of climate change. All this one they say these days, it makes me laugh. You know, I'm never impressed. You know, I thank God I've read a bit of science. And I can assure you, most of the people who shout global warming, global warming, global warming, they have no idea what it means. They don't know what it means. All they think of global warming, that there was a tsunami in Indonesia. Global warming, there was an earthquake here. Global warming, there was a storm here. Global warming, that's what comes to their mind. They say that it's because of our lifestyle, what we are emitting. You know, we are emitting coal and all of that. And I laugh. I don't believe all of those things. All right? You can't say it outside. They give you a name. They call it the naysayers. You're one of the naysayers. That's your problem. As far as I'm concerned, the true cause of global warming is not the fire you burn in your backyard. I like one thing Farid Zakarias of Global Public Square said, that GPS on TNN. He said that if you have been managing, trying to adjust your life so as to, you know, become earth-friendly, he said, listen to me, you have been wasting your time. And that was like last week or the week before. And his reason was because all the thing you are trying to do, talking to the mostly Americans and Europeans, trying to save the energy that's going out into the air, he said the Chinese people, they're not listening to you. They are building coal-fired plants every day, like one a month. It's what these Chinese people are building. So that all you Americans and Europeans, you have been wasting your time. All right, and I'm just one person that believes very strongly that God is not stupid. I believe he made adequate plan to absorb all the coal you can emit into the air. How many ants are we on the earth? You forget. And they tell you about they said there was ice age. Can you remember? I've said the story of ice age before. What warmed up the ice age? What? Who was there to warm up the ice age? Nobody. Yes, it's warmed up. Listen, there are cycles on the earth. Nobody has ever proved to me that this warming of the current of the climate right now has nothing to do with a natural cycle that is not within our control. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying that there's no proof yet. They have not examined it now. But let me not go into detail about that. What I want to emphasize is the fact that the earth will get hot and become uncomfortable if we continue to emit not coal, not carbon dioxide. It's a spiritual substance, wickedness. As we're emitting wickedness, that is what really warms up the earth. It's not carbon dioxide. Is the wickedness of the souls of men. Are you getting what I'm saying? That, look, what the earth experiences, all right? You know, we know what God told the children of Israel. He said, because of this, the earth vomited up the inhabitants. These people were doing the things that were wrong. Therefore, the earth vomited up the inhabitants of the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, it's what the people there do, okay, that affect what happens on the earth. That's the point I'm going to make. So, now, this is how God said. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. And I said, there are three things that affect the things that happen on the earth. Three things we said. Then we discussed this thing some time ago. I said, number one is the purpose of God. Number two is the behavior, all right, the iniquities or the righteousness, all right, of the people on the earth. And number three is the prayers of the people that are on the earth. Those are the three things that affect the things that occur on this earth. One, the purpose of God. Number two, the behaviors of men. And then number three, the prayers of men. Those last two, as you can see, they depend on people. They don't depend on God. You say, but you said the purpose of God. Yes, the purpose of God is the way it works. God, when he has given his authority to people, what he does is to persuade them so that they will agree with him, so that he will be able to bring to pass the thing that he proposed. The only thing he has on his side is time. Did you hear what I said? What does he have on his side? Time. He's not in a hurry. If one generation will not do his will, he'll wait for the next. And if that next one won't do it, he'll wait for the one following. And he will continue to wait. That's what the Bible calls a long suffering. He will continue to wait until a generation will come that we agree and do that which God has proposed. Now, so that's one thing that God has on his side concerning his purpose. So when he has determined to do something, he will not change his mind, all right, ever. But he can change his mind in a particular generation. Do you understand? Like he said to Eli, Shebi, I swore that you and your house, your father's house will be stand before me as priest forever. He said, now, far be it from me. I've changed my mind. Now I have appointed another priest. That's the way he does it. Priesthood will not depart because of Eli. Do you get my point? Eli, all right, you guys want to misbehave? Fine, go ahead, misbehave, enjoy your misbehavior. But the priesthood will stay. It might depart from your family, but priesthood will not go away. You are getting what I'm going to explain. So I'm talking about the purpose of God. So the two other things which are more important we should focus on right now is the number one, the behaviors of men and the prayers of men. And we're talking mostly, because it's our school of prayer, about that issue of the prayer of men. And I want us to emphasize, to focus on that. Now, you know, I said that we read 2 points on the scriptures to start. That's where? The book of Matthew chapter 18 and then from 1 John chapter 4. Now, those are the two portions that we read to start this our discussion. And so I want to explain some things about it. Now, I said we're talking specifically about the word agreement. Now, this is what we mean when we talk about agreement. Now, there's something we read on Saturday that Jesus, that's we read from Matthew chapter 21 and also from Mark, I think 15, that he said, James and John came to him and said, come sit on my left, we want to sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. And he said to them, you don't know what you're asking for. And now, please, let me say something. That's very important when we're talking about prayer. Now, it's not possible. Should I say that one first? Or no, please, I'll come back to this. Let me just explain something first, all right? Now, let me say this to us. I talked about the purpose of God, all right, the behaviors of men and the prayers of men. Now, I want to understand something. If God has a purpose on the earth, before it is manifested, the first thing he locates are people to agree with him. Yes, that's why I wanted to say that before I get back to this. Are you getting what I'm saying? What the first thing he locates is what? Somebody to agree with him. That's why when he wanted to save mankind, he started looking for one Abraham. All right? Now, we don't know how many people he talked to before the Abraham that we now know, all right, accepted to walk with him. Now, if you were here when we're doing our study in the book of Genesis, you will see that we discover while studying that the whole of the book of Genesis was written around one man, and that's Abraham. The story from Adam down to Abraham, the story was written from Adam so as to get down to Abraham. And from Abraham, the story was written so as to get down to the children of Israel. Do you understand the point? Now, Abraham was the central figure there, the most important person after the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, before the Lord Jesus, that was the most important person. The only person that displays him in importance was the reason why Abraham was called, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, why was Abraham important? Because God doesn't listen to this. I want to say categorically. That's how he made it. He can't do anything on the earth until somebody who resides on the earth agree with him. Do you get the point I'm making? No, he can't. He can't. And that's why, listen, I read this book. I don't know how many of you have read it. If you haven't read it, these are the things you read that encourages your faith and makes you realize that spiritual realm is very real. God Smuggler, Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew said once he went to one country. I don't know which of the countries now. But one of those Soviet republics, all right? Or at least one of the communist countries in the heart of Europe that time, or in the heart of communism. So when he got there, he met one old man and one old woman. And these people were living under communism. Everything had been taken away from them. All right? They didn't have land they could call their own. They didn't even have freedom to worship. And when they got to the village where these people lived, they discovered that everybody had run away. You know, like we go to America these days, you know? Everybody had disappeared to Western Europe if they could, all right? Find their way out. So after everything was said, he asked the old man and the old woman, so why didn't, because the village was virtually deserted. They have very few people left. So he said, why are you people still here? Why didn't you go like everybody else so that, you know, you can have freedom and everything? Is it because of your land? You know, that kind of thing. Like, okay, let's wait for our generation. He said, no. What were they waiting for? They said, if we leave, who will stay behind to pray? That's what they said. You know, I was in my office today and we're discussing. And we're a very funny country, the way we behave sometimes in Nigeria. All right? But I thank God for Nigeria. Nigeria is increasing and we are getting better. Anytime I drive on this portion of Abakaliki Road, I always feel, I'm not joking about this, I always feel like I'm abroad. I'm not joking about that. You see, between this junction and the other junction, all right, I always feel as if I'm not in Nigeria. The roads are clean, the fences are well painted, and they are not close to the road. Concrete sidewalks, well painted roads, a traffic light at the end of the road. I never feel like I'm in Nigeria. Look, and listen, we are bringing heaven down to the earth in this country also. I'm telling you the truth. We are doing it. Nigeria is, well, we have created goodness out of it. All this sound of kidnapping, shooting, and robbery is the tantrums of the devil as we are casting him out. If we go out, we'll send him to one wicked country. I don't know which country we send the devil to. There's always one place to send him to. Anyway, we'll send them to the center of Atlantic Ocean, so where ships don't pass. And any evil man can go and mine his own devil from there and carry it to his country. We don't mind. Now, this is what I'm making. Anyway, so when we were talking in the office today, and we were observing a lot of things, there's something came to my mind again. Believe me, if I was discussing with a friend of mine, something led to it, and I said, there are places in the U.S. you want to live there, you know? You don't want to live in New York. It's like Lagos. But there are nice, quiet, big cities. But you know what? Why didn't God move all his good children to those places? Because God determines, listen to this, to redeem every corner of his earth. I don't know whether I get the point. The earth belongs to him. Doesn't belong to anybody else. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Therefore, you and I have the responsibility not to rush down somewhere where it's good, but to create good everywhere that God plants us. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, what I'm saying is very, very important. That's how God does it. So, those people, I believe that the prayers of people like that, those people, are those that crumbled communism. Yes, the Americans and the Nigerians or people in free countries were praying along with them. Maybe. Maybe they were praying. All right? Because these days, God forgive me what I'm about to say. I doubt the prayers of those Americans. I have my reasons. It's the prayers of people like that old man and that old woman that moved the devil out of their countries. I hope you are getting my point. So what God does is this simple. He plants them, his people, in strategic places on the earth, and then they cooperate with him, all right, until his will is done on the earth. And there's something you must bear in mind, all right? When we're talking about prayer, and that's what we're talking about, the major reason why God left prayer as a weapon for us, let me put it like this, the main weapon that God left for us, all right, to have his will done on the earth is prayer. I think you should write that down if you're the type that's writing. That's the major weapon. It's not scheming. It's not scheming. My wife and I have had discussions about, you know, things lead to it. People will say that, the finest mosque, Christians don't build fine churches. I said, it will not preach the gospel. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. It won't. God doesn't preach gospel from buildings. He preaches the gospel from the lives of people. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? So it's important. Listen. And let me tell you something here. There's nobody that will scheme more than the communists schemed. Where are they today? Their history. History. All right? Anybody scheming against the church is the one that will collapse. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you will perish out of the way. He says, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. That's the purpose of God. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? All right? People can gather, like the Bible says in that Psalm 2, against the Lord and against the anointed. The Bible says that he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is all the plans that the enemies of God have, all right? They will come to, in fact, they have come to frustration already in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the point I want you to understand here is that is the most potent weapon that God gave to the Christian is that ability to pray. That's it. You know the reason? Because actually, this is what happens. You know, I've said this to you before, that when you get to well-developed countries like America, a typical house doesn't have burglar proof on the window. All right? Warren Buffett's house is not fenced. I don't think it's fenced. If it's the same house he's lived in for many years, I don't think it's fenced. It's on a normal street. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not like Nigeria. You know, I don't think an average child in Nigeria knows how to live in a house without fence. He will feel like he's not wearing clothes. He will feel naked. Now, why don't they do that? Well, why is it not necessary? It's going to be a bit difficult, all right, in America for you to operate in a house, say you're a thief, for 30 minutes. If you want to operate like that, make sure nobody knows you are in there. All right? Once somebody finds out, you know what will happen? He will call the police, and police will actually show up in the next 3 minutes. All right? They don't dispatch an officer from their office. There's somebody around that area. They all radio the guy. There's the distress call from this particular house. The one that ever interests me, that you can't, if you dial the police station, all right, you dial 199 or 911, which one did they use now? 911 is America. And then you change your mind and you drop the phone, the police will still come. No, I'm not joking about that. You know, you carry your phone from your house, not a cell phone now, a landline, and you dial 911. And then somebody says, hello, you know, that kind of, as they ask me, you change your mind and you drop the phone. I don't want to call police again. Maybe you're threatening your husband. If you move closer, I will call police. And you dial it. And then you say, okay, I was just joking. You drop the phone. 3 minutes later, somebody's going to knock at your door. Yeah, you know, because of course, as soon as you call, they know where the call is coming from. And the fact that you didn't complete the call means that you are really in distress. That the man who can talk, still has mouth. The one who can't talk, things really don't work. The police, listen, if he knocks that door, nobody answers, he will break down the door. But he's not going to leave that place with a distress call coming from there that was not completed. Now, why am I telling this story? Is that the person is so strong that he thinks that when a thief comes, I can fight them off? That's why he didn't put burglar proof on his windows. No. It's just because he knows that in the event of trouble, I can call somebody. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? He knows he can call somebody. That's why if it's going to go away, all right, alarm everywhere. So that even though I'm not around, if you break my door, somebody will respond. Are you following my point? Therefore, the most potent weapon, maybe you leave an 18-year-old girl alone in the house. She's weighing about 49 kg, slim lady. She has never been to karate school. Don't worry, just stay alone in the house. She doesn't have any wahala against intruders. Once she hears noise, she will hide somewhere and call somebody. And in a few minutes, she's safe. Therefore, the most potent weapon she has is not the gun, it's not the cutlass, it's not military training. What is this thing? The call, the phone call. Therefore, that's the way it is with the Christian. We have a God that has cocked his gun. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, he has cocked his gun. He's just waiting for you to call. That call is called what? Prayer. My wife and I were watching something the other day on TV, Nat Geo Wild. Now, you know what they call a bear? A bear, you know that animal, the bear. The bear attacked a man. That bear weighs maybe about 350 kg. All right? Tall. And don't try to outrun a bear. It, forget the size. It can run. Forget that size. So the bear attacked this guy. He had no defense against the bear. The bear beat off his shoulder. Now, that's a powerful animal. Nobody doesn't attack people. But that one, he attacked this guy and was really going to maul this guy to pieces. The guy had no defense against the bear. Now, this was the interesting part. He was telling the story. That means he survived. This was many years later. You still see the scars all over his body. He said, then suddenly I said, oh God, I don't want to die today. He said, just as quickly as the attack started, it stopped and the bear walked away. My wife is a witness. We watched it together. He said, that seemed to do the magic. I just said, oh God, I don't want to die today. And that was it. The bear just looked, left him, turned and walked away. He didn't do anything. The bear didn't rush away like, whoo, trouble. The bear just left him, turned around and walked away. He said, an instant after he said, oh God, I don't want to die today. Do you understand my point? Let me say this to us before I go on. If you pray in faith, believe me, God answers prayers. And that's what I want to drum into our heads again in this series. Because the problem we have is that we don't actually pray. We scheme. And prayer is part of the scheme. That is, I have schemed that this man can help me. As I'm going, God, oh, please, let him be at home. Oh, God, oh, please, oh, let him be at home. That's not prayer. He's scheming. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. The man said, I mean, he was alone. You know, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, from the ends of the earth will I cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, when you talk about the ends of the earth, well, how far can the earth be? How far can that corner of the earth be than the fact that the 350 kg bear is upon you and tearing you to pieces? So it was from the ends of the earth that the man cried out. And God heard him and delivered him. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying there. That is, so that's the most potent thing that we actually have. God is a mighty policeman. He's a one-person riot squad. Are you getting my point? He's greater than Rambo, multiplied by 10. He's Rambo and the whole of American National Guard put together into one. Do you understand? He knows his business. However, he seems to like to wait for a call. Did you hear what I said? He sits in his office, and next thing is that you call, and then in an instant, he appears. That's why your prayer is the most potent weapon that you have. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I was saying that. So you see, God therefore drops one person on the earth. And he says to the person, all I want you to do is call upon me in the time of trouble. Do you understand that? All I want you to do is to execute my will on the earth. And how do you execute my will? Normally what God does is that he gives you simple things to do. All right? And then simple prayers to say. As you go on, there's a message I recommended some time ago. And I think I'll still see whether I can make it available for us. All right, those who will be interested. The Aggressive Prayer by Derek Prince. All right. Now, you see, it gives us, Derek Prince describes certain words there. I will repeat them maybe next time when we're talking about it. Now, God gives us certain words to pray. And then those words are actually, they are very potent spiritually. We'll see later about the principle of a persistent prayer. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, this is an interesting part. You know, he said that they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, pray like this. Now, what we have decided it means, or it meant, was that this is a pattern for prayer. Now, listen, it's a pattern. It was not a pattern. It can be used as a pattern. Do you understand my point? In it, you will see the concepts, all right, things that are inside prayer that we are supposed to say. However, when Jesus gave the disciples, it was not a pattern. It was a prayer. Teach us to pray. When you go to pray, repeat this. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. You know what he said? When you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That he gave them specific things to say. And in their context, you say, Pastor Banker, are we supposed to pray like that now? Yes and no. Knowing that, don't ever forget that things are said in context. Like I said at the beginning, he was talking to the disciples. The things he gave them to say were specific things. It wasn't general to them. When he said, thy kingdom come, to them he had a meaning. He had a practical today meaning. Are you getting my point? For them, it was something like, as you are praying, you are declaring that power supply will be constant. They were not imagining it. When they said, thy kingdom come, they had something in mind when they were going to be saying that, thy kingdom come. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That is because one of the problems I found out as I was studying over time is that when Christianity, God introduced the gospel of the word of faith, the thing we began to learn in word of faith, we threw away a lot of things. I give an example. After meditating and praying and understanding and checking things over the years, I have discovered that when it's time to pray publicly, you know, like we pray together. Now, let us pray for our nation. Normally, we give a prayer point and then we all scatter. That's Pentecostal. I don't want to use the word that almost came out of my mouth. That's just Pentecostal. Okay, let me like the idiosyncrasy. That's better. That's just the way we like it. It's just not the right way. It's not exactly inferior to what people used to do. So now we're going to pray that this is what we have in the country. Prayer, then everybody will scatter. Then you know the way we start pacing up and down. We work out the whole. When they say go and jog, you know go jog. But during prayer, you they walk out 5 kilometers in that day prayer hall. It's a good thing. I think we should be praying more often. All these people that know they agree jog, go jog. So this prayer this night is going to be hot. Therefore, so brethren, you go move the seat back. Listen, I don't want to say this. The truth is that our prayers are not more potent than those of those who don't run up and down. Now, if the passion in your soul makes you race all over the place, fine, have fun. Do you understand my point? But believe me, that's not really the pattern of praying together for something. You said, Pastor Bank, how are we supposed to do it? I'll tell you to you, we're not discussing that now. I just want to establish some things as we start. What we are supposed to do is to appoint one person who has made the best understanding maybe in that area, preferably a leader, an elder. He will stand in front and he will speak. And as he will speak, all of us will be following him with amen. 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 And we'll continue to say amen as long as he's talking. That's why if you read in the book of Acts or even Old Testament, you will see that they all raised their voices to God and said. And you wonder that, how did they know? If I've seen Pentecostals try to interpret what they said. And what we used to say is that, and they were all saying, but this was what the Holy Spirit interpreted to God. You know, like, I've heard that before. It's just because we thought they were Pentecostals of today. Listen, they were raised with the background of Judaism, and they knew how to do public prayer. So when it was time to pray, Peter would stand in front, and the church of maybe 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 people behind him will wait and allow him to pray, and everybody will echo, will chorus an amen, or give the amen intermittently. So what is being said is intelligible to everybody and they can agree in their heart. And listen, if the body of Christ will gather together and truly agree, then indeed we will see the power of God manifest. We will remove a precedent if we so desire. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? No, as we go on, we are going to see we are going to do this. We are going to do prayer that maybe for the nation, for the state. I'm not going to give a prayer point. Everybody just disappear. So we'll run down to the ground floor and come back. In CAC, you know the way they end the prayer. The prayer is usually so, you know, so commotuous. Is that English correct? The commotion is usually so much that the pastor usually has a bell. They are laughing. You've ever been to Apostolic Church? CAC. Okay, you know, Nigeria is actually in different regions. This is not today, this Eastern region. For go Western region. The commotion of the prayer is really so much that as part of the setup for the pulpit, there's one space for bell.
when people don't pray, to get them to stop, bang, 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 everybody go pause. Is that an evil thing, though? Do you get my point? Just the way we like it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, so what I was trying to explain, anyway, let me just try and get back there, is this. Actually, what God is doing is that people agree with him. Do you get my point? And then he gives them prayers to say. And then those prayers are the most potent weapons they have to wield on the earth. Those are the most potent weapons. Because when they speak those words in prayer, do you understand what I'm saying? What they are doing is that they are calling the forces of heaven to be released on their behalf. So that even though they are weak, you discover that indeed they are strong. Are you getting the point? That is, an evil man that decides to assail a praying man is about to die quickly. Do you get the point I'm making? So let's just get that point. That's the most potent weapon that God has given to the Christian. Now, we're analyzing two scriptures. Now, let me get back to those two scriptures. He said that if he will agree, that was the first one, then I brought out the issue of he will pray according to his will. When he said if you agree amongst yourself, two of you shall agree concerning anything that they will ask. Now, note that word agree is the same word actually when he was saying that if you will ask anything according to his will, that is, if you will agree with God in anything that you want to pray about. That thing is very important. And I said that, number one, we refer to this issue, we don't know what we're asking for. Sometimes, people actually don't know what they're asking for. James says something that you don't have because you don't ask. And he said, when you ask, all right, and you don't receive, it's because you asked wrongly. And he explained what he meant by wrong asking. And what did he say it was? He said, because you are asking so as to spend on your lust. Therefore, the will of God is primarily dictated by motive. I don't know whether I get the point. Motive actually is what decides whether you are praying according to his will or you are not praying according to his will. Do you follow the point I'm making? Really, motive, from what James said there, motive, he said, you have not because you don't ask. And when you ask, you don't receive. Because you see, James, John, they were all repeating the words, the sermons that Jesus taught them. There's nobody that wrote anything in the New Testament, all right, that was not recording the teachings of Jesus Christ. None. 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 The whole of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what those ones are. You know the book of Acts. But from Romans down to Revelations, they were the words of Jesus that these people were writing. Paul wrote the majority of it. But that was because, how did he get his own revelation? It was after the resurrection that the Lord appeared to him and taught him the things that he wrote. That's why John will tell you that which was from the beginning. All right? That which we heard with our ears, we saw with our eyes, which our hands handled concerning the word of life. That's what we are now delivering to you. That's how it is. John, James. So I'm going to get something here. So when John wrote and James wrote, they were both instructed by the Lord Jesus and they were saying the same thing. John was saying, like I said, look at things in context. He was telling you simply, anything you will ask according to his will, all right, you will receive. And James put it like this, that if you don't receive, it's because you did not ask according to his will. And what is asking not according to his will, he said it is asking so as to spend on your loss. That is selfishness is how you pray out of the will of God. Simple. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making.